Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. The police custody death of Sandra Bland has gripped the nation, coming to symbolize so much of what is broken about our system of policing. The 28-year-old African-American woman was found dead in her jail cell 3 days after she was first arrested, after being pulled over by Texas State Trooper Brian Encinia and violently arrested. Now, an autopsy released by Texas authorities has concluded that, quote, the cause of death was hanging, and the manner of death was a suicide. Family and friends have ruled out suicide, saying they didn't believe the woman they knew and loved, who had just gotten a new job that she was moving to Texas for, would have killed herself. The Texas prosecutor also said that Bland had marijuana in her system. She was active on social media and a vocal supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement. She regularly posted commentaries called #SandySpeaks. Bland was laid to rest on Tuesday night. Joining me today is Tanda Sizwe Chimurenga. She's a contributing writer for Truthout, Counterpunch, and the Los Angeles Watts Times and Sentinel newspapers, author of the newly released Reparations Not Yet, A Case for Reparations and Why We Must Wait. Her earlier book was No Doubt, The Murders of Oscar Grant. Let's first talk about the autopsy results, Tandi. So let's talk about the fact that Texas authorities have ruled her death as a suicide. They basically said that she had cut marks on her left wrist, which were in a state of healing. And the Texas prosecutor who shared the results said that there were no bite marks or other injuries on her face or lips or tongue, which would be consistent with a violent struggle. Do you believe this?
Of course I don't believe that, Sonali. Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC had the mother and the sister and the attorney for the family of Sandra Bland on, and they talked about the text message that they received from the Waller County DA stating that a second autopsy was needed because the first one was defective. Later on in the show, they talked about the exact wording of the text, stating that they were hoping that the body would be available for future investigations. And now we're seeing all of this media mentions press releases coming out stating that the coroner in Texas has ruled it a suicide. It's got to be the fastest autopsy and results ever known to humanity, first of all. But I'm with the family. We believe that foul play is caused her death. But even if it did not, even if the actual hands of those police officials were not around Sandra Bland's neck, even if she did take her own life, they created the conditions for that. It was a totally fraudulent, unnecessary arrest. She should have been under visual supervision. They have blood on their hands, regardless of the situation.
I'm really glad you brought up this point because, you know, those who do attempt to take their lives, and sometimes do succeed in taking their lives, it's really difficult to necessarily be able to predict what will cause somebody to do that. If she died in police custody, regardless of the manner of her death, if she did indeed take her life, isn't that still police responsibility? They were supposed to check on her once every hour, and now records are showing that 2 hours went by and she was not checked on.
When you're in custody, you are the property, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. That's a horrible word for Black folk. You're a property of the state. You are the ward of the state. You're in their care and custody. You are their responsibility. So of course they should have been responsible, especially if it's so much in this case that we cannot believe. But let's say, for example, the intake documents where she had talked about suicide in the past, even though she was not feeling suicidal at that moment, according to those documents, someone should have been watching her. They were negligent.
And there was a friend of Sandra Bland's who shared a voicemail that she left for him with the media. I want to play for you and our audience a clip of that friend of Bland's sharing this cell phone voicemail.
They got me set at a $5,000 bond. I'm still just at a loss for words, honestly, about this whole process. How they're switching lanes with no signal turn into all of this, I don't even know. But I'm still here, so I guess call me back when you can.
And that is the voice of Sandra Bland while she was jailed, saying she was still here, that she just couldn't understand what was going on. And a $5,000 bond for either failing to use a signal when the police essentially prompted her to move out of his way, or failing to put out her cigarette when he asked her to, which, of course, she had the right to keep her cigarette lit. I mean, why would, under what circumstances is such, not just arrest and jailing and the violent way in which she was handled, but also this $5,000 bond, under what circumstances could this be justified?
Well, the $5,000 bond is for the assault on a police officer. During the police officer's assault of Sandra Bland, she asked 14 times, why am I under arrest? What am I being charged with? It was never stated. But once wind of this gets out and the media and people begin to ask questions, the sheriff's department or the police, they respond and say that she assaulted a police officer. So that's why it was $5,000 bond. But again, that particular police officer, Brian Encina, was removed from active duty based upon what his superiors saw on the dash cam video, that he was totally out of compliance and out of line. So once again, police have created a situation where a person ended up dying. They assaulted her. He had no business pulling over. If you notice, he was coming behind her for a reason. And then she got out of the way and he decided to cite her for failure to use the turn signal. So why did he turn his car around? Why was he pursuing her anyway?
I'm really glad you brought up the fact that essentially Sandra Bland seems to have simply been pulled over because the cop felt like it. And then he was able to create a situation where he created an excuse to arrest her. And he said, I will light you up. That was a threat.
If you saw the video, he was about to hand her the ticket. It should have been over at that point. He asked her to put out the cigarette. Why? If she's going to take the form and sign it, wouldn't she have to remove the cigarette to take the pen anyway? He was looking for an excuse. He was baiting her.
And he didn't even say, please put out the cigarette, or I'm ordering you to put out the cigarette. He actually said, do you mind putting out the cigarette? And she said, no.
She minded putting out the cigarette. See, this is what I'm talking about. White supremacy never, ever takes responsibility for its actions. It can do no wrong. It has the right to do whatever it wants. And once you question it, it begins to blame the victim. Well, you know, if Sandra had just kept her mouth shut, if she had just put out the cigarette, if she had just taken the ticket and fought it later, how come that cop was allowed to act that way? And if you notice, everything had been on the dash cam, except when he takes her out of the car, he moves it out of the line of sight. Why didn't he have her directly on the hood so that he could place her under arrest or handcuff her? Why was he taking her out of the line of sight? These are the kinds of questions that we need to continue to ask. This is the type of thing that we need to continue to hammer at. Police have got to get the message that no, you cannot do whatever it is you want to do. You will be questioned on it. You will be confronted about it.
Tandy, let's talk about the fact that the character assassination of Sandra Bland has already, of course, begun after her death. You've written about this before, the case of Oscar Grant, where after a person gets killed by police, or in this case within police custody, try to be accurate, as accurate as we can be given the information we have. Now, of course, we're being told she had marijuana in her system, a large amount of marijuana in her system. Of course, we saw her interactions with the police. Even if she had had some marijuana, she did not sound inebriated. She sounded rightfully angry. And of course, if she was in Colorado or some of the states where it's legal, that wouldn't even be an issue. And of course, if she was a white person who had smoked pot, nobody would ever bring it up, right? So do you see this as part of that sort of character assassination, the seconded murder?
The murders of Oscar Grant, the murders of Sandra Bland, the murders of Eric Garner, the murders of Tamir Rice. There's always a double, triple, sometimes a quadruple murder that takes place. The character assassination is to place in the minds of the populace the rationale. It's okay, well, the person did something wrong. If they hadn't done something wrong or hadn't been doing something illegal, again, we never, ever question the police. And this is one of the best cases I've ever seen where there have been so many horrible inconsistencies. we can no longer continue to give police the benefit of the doubt. The lawyer for the family says that the district attorney sends him a text. Sandra either swallowed or smoked a large amount of marijuana in custody.
In custody, not before she was arrested, but while she was in custody?
This type of wording, who smokes marijuana in jail? If you're allowed to smoke marijuana in jail, that means you're probably going to pass it to the guards, okay?
Wow.
I mean, it's ridiculous the levels that they go to assassinate the character, to kill the person a second time. They go to such ridiculous lengths that they end up insulting themselves in the process.
And then, of course, there's the media assassination. The CNN put on an ex-cop who said Sandra Bland sounded arrogant from the very beginning. And, of course, you've seen this before as well, right?
Well, of course, that's the crime. Yeah. That's the crime. Contempt of cop, being arrogant, that's the reason, really, why. Because under white supremacy, black people are not allowed any shred of dignity. They're not allowed bodily integrity. What people have got to understand, black people in the United States of America, I haven't lived anyplace else, so I can't talk about anyplace else. But in the United States of America, black people are the only people who give their children, quote unquote, the talk. Black folks know what that means, the talk.
Yeah.
Charles Blow in the New York Times talked about the talk. We are the only people that sit our children down and say, this is how you conduct yourselves around law enforcement. Nobody else has to do that. Nobody else does that. And what we have got to begin to understand, black people and others, is that there's going to come a time, we're seeing it now, where a black person is going to be like, you know what? I'm not having it today. I'm going to assert my rights. I have the right to dignity. What you are doing is wrong. What you are doing is illegal. And I'm not going to take it. It is unfortunate that that might end in death. But there's going to come a time where people are going to be like, you know what? I'm not taking it anymore. And we're not talking about rising up. I'm not talking about rising up in an uprising. I'm talking about a simple traffic stop. No, I'm not going to sign this. I'm not going to get out the car. Basically the same thing that Sandra Bland said. I'm not going to have it today. And that is a person's right. Of course we mourn. Of course we're angry. Of course it's not right. But it is that person's right to demand one last bit of shred of dignity, even if it's that person's last day on earth. People are just going to get fed up.
Speaking of dignity, Sandra Bland's mother, who she was very, very close to, they went on a road trip just a short while before Bland died. Her name, Geneva Reed Veal, again, you know, another mother who's lost her child. And at the funeral, she spoke saying, there is not anywhere I could see that my baby took her own life. People. The memorial, that's right. I'm sorry, the memorial. And she said, my purpose is to go back to Texas and stop all of the injustices in the South. Once I put this baby in the ground, I'm ready. This means war. And of course, you know, people never want to see the deaths of their loved ones be in vain. How important are Geneva Reed Veal's words and her anger?
It's important and it's refreshing. She's not talking about forgiving those who are responsible for the murder of her child. She's talking about taking on a system that created those conditions. And that's what's needed. We need for family members to become organized and confront these systems. There are a lot of high profile families, family members of people who have been murdered. And, you know, I'm not trying to speak ill of them at all. They suffered a horrendous loss that I would never, ever want to suffer. I don't know if I could recover from it. But many times they set up foundations in the name of their children's name. But it does nothing to deal with that entity that caused them to lose their child in the first place. And that is what needs to be attacked. That is what needs to be confronted so that other parents won't lose their children. You have to confront the systems, the reason why your child is no longer here. And in many instances, it is the police or some variant of the criminal justice system. And so we welcome her words and we welcome her addition to this fight.
And a quick correction, the memorial service was what happened earlier this week. Sandra Bland's funeral is scheduled for Saturday. And I understand that the family is demanding a second independent autopsy, which is also quite important, right?
Oh, definitely. Because again, there are just so many inconsistencies and so many instances of outright incompetence in Texas. You have to have some fresh, objective eyes looking at this issue.
Let's talk about cases of other Black women's deaths around the very same time that Sandra Bland died while she was in jail the death of Kendra Chapman, an 18-year-old girl. I mean, just 18, not even, you know, a woman yet. Very similarly to Bland, died in police custody. We were told that she killed herself in Alabama. She was accused of stealing a cell phone. Her case hasn't gotten nearly as much attention. And I'm wondering, you know, the fact that it's a thing that apparently African-American women are committing suicide while being jailed, the fact that that's even a trend is just not right.
I don't know if African-American women are committing suicide.
Quote, unquote, committing suicide.
I think they're being murdered. And I think that that's something that has happened all along, but it does not get the same attention as men, number one, because it's not as blatant and in your face. You know, we saw Eric Garner being choked to death. Yeah. We saw Tamir Rice being killed within 2 seconds of a police officer coming on the scene. We don't have video evidence of Sandra being choked, of Kendra being choked, or of hanging herself. And so the violence that happens against women is usually in a dark corner. It's away from public eyes. And so the public, the media and those people who are responsible for these types of murders are able to put out that kernel of doubt in our minds. Well, maybe she did kill herself. We don't have any video evidence to state otherwise. And so because that type of violence against Black women is usually away from public eyes, it's not as visceral. You know, it's visceral hearing Eric Garner say, "I can't breathe." Yeah. You know, it's visceral seeing Michael, I've forgotten his name, the guy in North Charleston. It's visceral seeing him coolly, calmly take out his gun and shoot at Walter Scott eight times as Walter Scott runs away. That's very, very visceral. What we have with Sandra, what we have with Kendra, is the body after the fact. And so that's one of the reasons why you don't see so much, so much of a reaction. There's still anger. And as we can see with the organizing that's going on, it begins to build. But at the moment it happens, it's not the same for Black men because it's not as visual to us. Yeah. It's not as visceral.
Yet Sandra Bland's case has become so important and powerful. And I'm wondering, Tandi, if that is because of her, you know, after her death, her humanity continued to exist on social media with the multiple sort of footprints that she left behind with her videos. People were able to get to know Sandra Bland in the little bits that she left, the videotaped commentaries that she left. She became a three-dimensional human being who spoke out, who laughed, who was full of life. She had a gleam in her eye and a big smile on her face. And I'm wondering if that is part of what has really generated widespread public anger beyond the African-American community right now.
Oh, definitely, definitely. When people see those videos of her and get that indication of how she was, they think it's very, very unlikely that she committed suicide. They look at, again, these inconsistencies coming out of Texas and the state of law enforcement across the country, and they know that law enforcement cannot be trusted and that the officials in Texas are probably lying through their teeth. But also, we're in a different place now here in July of 2015 than we were in July of 2014. We were back then, we were still asking, why aren't you rallying around women being murdered in police custody by law enforcement? We're still asking that question. We're still telling people to say her name, but so many different events to raise that awareness and that criticism have taken place by July of 2015. I think that that also is a reason why it has created so much outrage.
Finally, Tandi, you've been following the case of the death of Alicia Thomas in Southern California, and the sentence was just handed down for the police officer in that case, a 3-year sentence, I believe. LAPD officer Mary O'Callaghan, is this a victory? 3 years for killing a woman?
do understand that the last 20 months of the sentence were suspended. And in California, for every day that you spend in jail, you get 1 day credit. So even though she was immediately taken into custody when she was found guilty a few months ago, 49 days ago, she's got a credit of 98 days already. So this is another officer who has the blood on their hands of a person unnecessarily, who's probably going to spend a year or less in a county jail, not a state prison. So on the one hand, we're seeing a conviction for the death of a person. In a way, that's a victory. It's not the charge it should have been. It's not the amount of time it should have been. If, say, for example, I had killed a police officer.
Right.
So, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other.
Tondi, thank you so much for the work that you do and for joining us today and reflecting on these issues.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest is Tondi Sizwe Chimurenga. She's a contributing writer for Truth Out, Counterpunch in the Los Angeles Watts Times and the Sentinel newspapers. She's also the author of the newly released Reparations Not Yet, A Case for Reparations and Why We Must Wait. Her earlier book was No Doubt, The Murders of Oscar Grant. And we've been talking about Sandra Bland, as well as Alicia Thomas, Kindra Chapman, and many, many others. This is Uprising. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar.